Now to the political reaction in Washington over the Iran deal. As we've been hearing, there's criticism from both sides of the aisle. Both Republicans and Democrats are raising questions about whether the deal will work and whether Iran can be trusted. House Majority Leader Eric Cantor shared his concerns on CBS's This Morning.
This deal, this interim deal with Iran, is in fact dangerous. It is a deal which brings Iran closer to becoming a nuclear power. And I think it bodes very, very ominously for the region and, in fact, U.S. security.
Secretary of State John Kerry, who helped broker the agreement, defended it as a productive first step that will open the door for more.
Are you telling me we're not better off being able to get in and see what's happening? Of course we are. In each case where they have been able to enrich without our knowing exactly what they're doing, we will now be able to have greater inspection, greater knowledge, greater restraint.
Well, NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving joins us now from Washington. Ron, welcome.
Good to be with you.
So, first of all, Iran has agreed to essentially a six-month pause in its nuclear program in exchange for these eased sanctions. But how would you characterize the reaction to all this in Washington?
By and large, predictable. These are the reactions that we would expect from the characters that we are looking to. If you ask Eric Cantor what he thinks, he is likely to say something very much like what we heard from Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel. And indeed, the word dangerous popped up. That was the key word. Historic mistake, the Prime Minister said. Dangerous, the Prime Minister said. Eric Cantor said something very similar. And we also heard what would have to be called skeptical language from a number of other Republicans, including people who are normally thought of as relatively moderate or centrist Republicans, like Bob Corker of Tennessee, who's the ranking Republican on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and Mark Kirk of Illinois, a guy who obviously has certain reasons to talk to the Democratic regime and to be friendlier to the White House than most Republicans. They were both very skeptical, too, and they said, what we probably ought to do is pass some more sanctions, some tougher sanctions in the Senate, and at least have those waiting in place for wherever we are in 6 months when this interim deal runs out.
Now, Ron, skepticism regarding Iran is a longstanding feeling in Washington, but is part of the reaction over the weekend in due to the fact that the deal did not have to and did not go through Congress at all?
That's right. Congress, of course, passed these sanctions. Congress passes sanctions on Iran with overwhelming votes, 400 and some in the House, where there are 435 members, sometimes nearly unanimous in the Senate. And it is the easiest thing in the world to pass a set of sanctions on the Iranian government, or at least it has been until the election of the current relatively moderate, or at least putatively moderate, government. And so you will probably hear a certain number of Democrats come back and say, well, we're kind of distrustful still of Tehran, and we still have a very strong commitment to defending Israel. Israel doesn't seem to like this deal, so we're probably going to want to have some opportunity as Congress to either pass some standby sanctions that would take effect at the end of this six-month period, as I mentioned, or to do something else that puts us on record as being more mistrustful of the Iranians than, say, the White House is at this moment.
Hmm. Now, Ron, is there any political blowback in Washington on the Obama administration about the fact that these talks were basically held in secret and Congress didn't actually know much about what was going on?
Yes, it's true. It's something that Congress always rankles at, realizing that it's been kept in the dark. But realistically, I would be very surprised if key members of Congress were not in some degree aware of these talks going forward. Typically, what the administration does, and this is any administration of either party, they keep a few members of the leadership in both parties, in both House and Senate, informed in a general way about what kind of negotiations are going on with other countries, even if they're secretive. And generally speaking, some of the key members of the intelligence panels are made aware of this as well. That is not to say that the ordinary rank-and-file member knew anything more than the members of the general public, unless, of course, they were reading carefully and just staying up on Google. They could probably have known most of what was going on, except for the details that we've just learned in the last 72 hours.
Google always knows before the rest of us. But, Ron, last question in the couple seconds we have left. I mean, we've been hearing Republicans in particular say that this deal is in part the Obama administration's attempt to thwart attention away from the ongoing problems with the Affordable Care Act rollout. Is there anything to that at all?
Well, we heard the same thing last week when the Democrats decided to change the rules on filibusters in the Senate. And I suspect that whatever else may happen in the days and weeks ahead, it will always be characterized as an attempt by the administration to distract from the rollout of the Affordable Care Act. And in to whatever degree that it actually does that, I'm sure the White House will be pleased.
NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving, always great to have you, Ron. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And more high-level talks are planned to take place in Geneva in January, this time bringing together the Syrian government and opposition groups.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, protecting drivers and their families with insurance coverage for over 75 years. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.